Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, August, August the 7th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you today. It is going to be good. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. Y'all get ready. Today's conversation is going to be good. It's Missional Monday, as always, Outreach Monday, whatever you want to call it. But it's Missional Monday, and today's topic of conversation is going to be good. Three ways the gospel might divide a church. Three ways the gospel might divide a church. This is going to be a good conversation. I hope you all are ready for it. I know I am. It's going to be good, 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 good. In a little while, y'all see I'm in here by myself, for those of you watching live. On Facebook and Ustream and everywhere else. I'm in the studio by myself for a while today because my good buddy, Pastor Parks, is woe out from yesterday. He is woe out from yesterday, y'all. He woe out from yesterday, so y'all keep him in y'all prayers. But that brother is tired from yesterday. I got a text from him this morning saying he might not make it in, and I understand. I'm waiting. He may call in a little bit later. But he's wore out from yesterday and his Healing the Hood event. And from everything that I could see, from the parts I got to see on Facebook Live and everything else, it looks like it was a rousing success. So big kudos to him. We'll talk a little bit more about that when he comes in, when he actually calls in a little bit later on today. But it still should be good. It's going to be good, good, good. But let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening already on the line, just push 1. You can be a part of today's show. If you're on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. We'd love to hear from you that way. Also, another way you can find us, email the show, email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you that way. The live streams are up and running, I believe they are. Yeah, we good to go. Ustream.tv. Hey, y'all, Ustream.tv. We are up and running, Ustream.tv. Also, Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running. You can find us there, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us live and in living color right there as well. And then last but not least, please, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our podcast. Go to your iTunes account, however you want to do it. If you can just do a super simple Google search, that'll help us out. Go to Google and here's the deal. Go to Google, do a simple search, download the podcast. We're Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You can do that and add us to your listening library. We will be glad to have you be a part of our permanent listenership. We don't send out no spam emails. We don't do none of that. The only email you get will be from the show being broadcast. That's it. We don't do no whole lot of stuff And we don't do no whole lot of spam. We only send emails out relevant to the to that particular broadcast or if we're doing something special. Other than that, we don't do no whole lot of emailing, so you don't have to worry about ever getting no spam email from us. But do that. Be a part of that. And look, I wanted to say this real quick. Big shout out to all of our winners last week, a part of our Light Fest giveaway. And and guess what? I happen to know somebody who's running the event. I may just have some more tickets to give away. I don't know for sure, but I'm 85. No, let me go a little higher. I'm 89. No, let me go a little higher. I'm 92.5% sure that I might have some more tickets to give away. I'm pretty sure about that. I talked to Dr. Julian Spencer last night. He is the pastor of the Main Baptist Church in Aurora, who is the main people putting on this event out there in Aurora. And he may actually be on the show with me on Friday. I'm looking forward to that. He may actually be on the show on Friday. That's going to be good. And he may bring some tickets with him, like actually in hand. He may actually have some tickets with him that I'll give away the day before the show, 2 days before the show. So we don't know. But you need to be ready. That's why it's so important that you make sure you're on our mailing list. That's why it's so important that you go to blogtalkradio.com. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and then hit the subscribe button. That way you're part of our mailing list. I'm telling you, this is how you're going to do that. And the reason we're able to do this, let me tell y'all something. The reason that they were confident in us using our medium to broadcast their event is because of you all. It's because of the listeners. It's because of your input into this show. It's because of what you've said about this show. And people listen to it, and it is recognized everywhere. And it's because of people like you all is the reason we're able to have the contacts we have. We've been able to walk into places with people who we normally never would have been in contact with. Real quick, those of you on Facebook Live, hit the share button for me real quick. I have not done the invite thing yet. And my brother Pastor Parks ain't here to be sending out 50 million invites like he normally does, but I'm going to do the ones I can. Y'all know me when it comes to multitasking, I start pushing too many buttons and some stuff start happening around here. But hit the invite button and the share button. And if you hit the share button on your phone, if you're watching on your phone or your mobile device, hit the share button, right? Don't just hit share, hit invite people, and then it opens up your whole friends list. Right. And then you just hit invite. You just go down and you scroll and you hit invite. See, that's more personal. See, sharing just puts it out there. OK, I did it. I shared. Invite says, hey, I think you ought to watch this. I think you ought to listen to this. I think this is something that you might be interested in. And so, yeah, do that for me. Do that for me. If you don't mind, it would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. So real quick, I do want to put it out there again. The concert is this weekend. Light Fest, featuring Anita Wilson, Israel Houghton, and Todd Delaney. It is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. I know I am. I'm excited about it. River's Edge Park. Now, let me give you some insight. If you have never been to River's Edge Park in Aurora, I advise you to go to their website so you can see how the seating works. You need to bring your own chairs. It's like, what's the place? Ravinia. If you've never been to Ravinia, I did not know this. I was told it, but, you know, I'm a little hard-headed. So I finally went and looked for myself. It is like Ravinia. So you need to bring your own comfortable lawn chair, folding chair, chair for two, whatever it is, bean bag, you know, air mattress. No, don't bring an air mattress. Don't. You know, some of y'all don't. No. Don't bring no air mattress. But. It is, but you do need to bring your own seating. They have seating set up, even the VIP seats. Those sections for your chairs are separate from the rest of the seating, from the general admission seating. Okay, so please, if you have not went to the website, you may want to check that out. What you can bring, your own coolers. They have rules for bringing your coolers. So I advise you to go to the website and watch the little 3-minute video, and they tell you what you can and can't bring. No, you can't bring no big hard cooler in there. They say you can bring the collapsible, plastic or silicone coolers into the park. You can bring those in, and they can collapse, and they sit right under your seat. That's where they're not taking up aisles. I guess they have the grass or whatever painted off or roped off some kind of way so they can see where the aisle should be. So you just bring your chair, you sit up, and you mount up wherever you're going to be at, and you call it a day. But look, hey, I don't even care, because if the praise and the worship is like I believe it's going to be, I might not need no chair anyway. So I plan on getting mine in. So my chair will be there strictly for decoration. That don't mean if I get tired, I might not want to sit down. I don't want you sitting in my seat. Anyway, excuse me. Anyway, but again, check that out. Rivers Edge Park. I want you guys to check it out. Make sure you can see what's going on. And it's going to be good, man. It's going to be a good time. I hope y'all ready for it. I know I am. I really am. I am. Look, man. Look, so much stuff is going on. So I see the city of Chicago. Why am I tangled up in cords? Lord have mercy. I see the city of Chicago is suing the federal government. They're suing the federal government over this sanctuary city stuff. That's going on because I guess Trump, our buddy Donald Trump, has decided that he wants to that he's going to cut off funding for cities. He wants to cut off funding for cities that decide they want to harbor illegal aliens. So any city that allows people to come in from other locations and other areas, he wants to cut them off completely from government funding. He does not want to allow them to have any funds from the government whatsoever. That's our president, y'all. That's him. That's the one they call President of the United States of America. That's him. So now Chicago, Rahm Emanuel and the crew are suing the federal government so that he can release those funds. Because here's the deal. The funds that he's holding are the federal funds that are allotted for our police departments, for our Chicago workers, people who work for city government, people who work do repair and stuff like that, infrastructure. He's withholding that money against, and this is his way of getting back at sanctuary cities. So I'm just telling y'all, read the news. Keep track of what's going on. And stuff like that. Also, real quick, there were a lot of shootings this past weekend. I know we had Lollapalooza downtown. And did any of y'all go to Lollapalooza? Let me ask this question. Have any of you all actually been to Lollapalooza downtown? Like in the loop? Have y'all ever been to this thing? I'm just curious. Because I've never been, I don't know much about it. I know they got, I know they've always had, you know, they've had interesting acts. I know they've had some people we know. I know Kanye was there a few years ago. But seriously, have any of you all ever actually been to this Lollapalooza event? Those of you local in the city of Chicago, have y'all ever been? Because I haven't. I don't know anything about it. I know it's like a 3-day. It's like 3-day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Or was it Thursday, Friday? It was a 3-day event. Excuse me, downtown. In the city of Chicago, and I'm just curious as to who went. Did any of y'all go? Did any of y'all go? Right, y'all know what to do. Y'all come in. See, now I see a whole bunch of folk here. Y'all to come in and folk ain't speaking to people. What's going on? Now look. Excuse me. Y'all need to fix that. Y'all need to fix that. Come on in and speak to some folk. I saw some of y'all spoke. What's going on? Pat Hicks, I see you. Dana Miller, I see you. Felicia Martin, I see you. It's a bunch more here in y'all, but I don't see your names. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Come in and say something to somebody. Make somebody let your presence be known. Excuse me. Let your presence be known that you're in the house. I want to ask y'all a question. And it's a little strange. And I don't know much about it. I just wanna talk about it briefly. And I know this might not be the excuse me, this might not be the best possible place to talk about it. But I didn't even know, and I guess I'm out the loop. I guess I'm out of the loop when it comes to certain stuff, because I didn't realize this was real news. I hadn't paid much attention to it. Seriously, I did not know this was real news. But what's this story with Usher? I ain't talking about the ushers in your church. I'm talking about Usher Raymond, the singer. What is this story? Y'all pray for me as I try to get through this here story without. What is going on with the usher? Can y'all help me? What? What am I reading and watching? Have I read this stuff right about Usher Raymond? Is he being sued for what is this deal with Usher and everything that's going on? What's this deal? Pastor Parks, I'm gonna see if I can send you this Facebook invite to see if you can pop in on the screen. I'm gonna send it to you now. So I don't know what you need to do on your phone to see it, but see if you get it, because I'm about to send it to you right now. Okay, I want to see if it works. We're gonna try this again. I'm gonna see if I can get you in here. I'm gonna send it right now. So hopefully you get that, and then it lets you pop in on the thing. I'm hoping it actually works. I don't know if it's gonna work because I ain't never actually tried it myself. Excuse me. But I'm gonna see if it actually works out. I just sent it. Now if you don't see it, I don't know what they do. But I just sent it. I don't know. It say invite friends, and then you invite them, and then you should be able to pop in, and then your picture and then your voice is on part of the thing. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see it yet, but we're gonna see. I sent you something, so you should be able to like click on it and do something, I think. Anyway, but y'all help me out. What's the story with Usher? She was tested negative. Say what? She was tested. Can y'all help me fill in the blanks? What? Where's my producer? What? Can you help us out? What is the story with Usher? I'm trying to understand. I know I should have asked about this before, but what is for STD? Okay, so right, the story is Usher is being sued for giving, is it now three people the herpes?
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you. Hello. Hi. Hi, producer. Yeah. How are you? Could you help us out? What's the story? Could you help me out? Because you know I'm a little slow when it comes to certain stuff. What Usher do or didn't do? What is he alleged of doing?
So he paid $1 million to a hairdresser he infected with an STD.
He paid $1 million. Okay, hold on. Pause.
It was a lawsuit.
Pause. Put a pause on it.
It was a
not a praise.
Okay.
But not a, he paid $1 million to a hairdresser that he...
One of the bridesmaids from the wedding.
Oh! One of the bridesmaids from the wedding.
From the
He paid $1 million to...
Mm-hmm.
In a lawsuit for giving her the herpes.
Right. So she said she noticed the green discharge and still went on with it.
The green discharge. Wrong show. We need to have a different kind of show. What? Excuse me one second, please, while I pause. I'm sorry. I'm a little sick right now. I'm feeling sicker as this conversation goes on. So okay. So that's one person. Now there's two other people, and one of them is a man.
Two women and one man. Coming out.
How did the man get the herpes?
I don't want to read anymore because now, like, you know, everybody's coming out the woodworks, you know, since he didn't take this lady off.
I'm just saying, did the man get is the man that supposedly was infected, was he infected from one of the women that Usher slept with? I'm just going to go with that premise. I'm gonna try to stay right there. I'm going to try not to go the other way. We don't know.
I cannot say.
You...
I did not read it.
Okay.
I did not read it. I'm done with it.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to know because I see. Because you know what? I keep seeing little blurbs and stuff pop up on Facebook, but I don't really see it. You know, it's like, okay, I'm thinking Usher got a new album out or something. And then finally, I saw it on the news today, and they were saying two more people then came out and trying to get some money from the Usher. Because the Usher is passing out more than church fans. The Usher is passing out the herpes. Is that what I'm – is that the – let me – okay, let me move on. All right. Thank you very much. Madam Producer, I appreciate you so much for your input. Thank you so kind. Anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't know. I'm trying to understand what just happened. I appreciate my producer for coming in and trying to help me through this part of this show, because I did not know that the man was down, you know. I don't even know what to say. Okay, so anyway, y'all ain't nobody saying nothing. Y'all ain't got no. No. Oh Lord, oh my. It is what it is. We gonna keep it moving. It is what it is. I just want to know what's going on. Pastor Parks, did you get my invite to come on to the Facebook Live thing, or it ain't working, or what's going on? I don't see you. I tried. Let me see if I can. Let me see. Yeah, let it. He said, "Let it burn." You know what? I would play his music, but you know, you don't see it. Okay. See, I don't know how this thing works. You're supposed to pick the person's name, and then you click invite, or is that not the invite to invite people to the video? I thought that was the invite to invite people to the video. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's just to invite people to watch the show. But I thought I had already sent you an invite to watch the show. Maybe that's not the same thing. We gonna get it figured out, because I need to know how to get people on the thing. Maybe that's only from your phone that you can do that. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's only from your phone that you can actually have other people pop into the video. Maybe that's what it is. But, man, go ahead. If you got the number, come on and call in, man, and let us know, because I want to give you the time to talk about the event, man. I'm sure people who were not able to make it want to hear about the event, man. So, you know, they'll go ahead and call in. Do the call in, 347-934-0546. Area code 347-934-0546. Call in, man. Push that one button so I can see you in there. And then you come on and pop on in, man, and tell us what was going on this weekend. I want to hear about it. Oh, he said send the call-in number. Okay. All right. Y'all help out Pastor Parks. Man, been here almost 2 years. He don't know the call-in number. I don't really understand. 347. All right. There it is. The man been here 2 years and don't know the call-in number. All right. There you go. Let me see if I can get him in there. The good Pastor Potts. First Bethel, you in the house, sir?
What's going on, my brother?
Man, y'all, what's good, man? What's good? What's going on, man? Ooh, you sound tired, too, Doc. You sound a little wore out.
Eyes are tired, man. Eyes are tired.
Eyes are tired, boss.
Eyes are tired, boss.
So, man, how'd it go,
hey,
Doc?
Like,
how'd it go?
My body burning.
You know what? See, you don't want... You might want to take that one back. You...
Oh yeah, let me take that down.
Yeah, you might want to.
Man, listen, man, it turned out phenomenal, man. It was on the news.
I saw that
news media.
That's good.
News media reaching out to us today, Channel 5, and Sun-Times did an article. We had two out there, Channel 2, Channel 7,
mm-hmm.
And we had a nucleus of people out there. It was just jam packed, man, and man, it was just probably my best event ever. That everything was timely. Everything started on time from the 6 o'clock setup crew to 9 o'clock filling the book bags, and then 2 o'clock overview, and then
mm-hmm.
3 o'clock we kicked off on time. We prayed 2:50. Then we had at least 75 volunteers.
Oh, that's awesome. That's what I wanted to hear. Because what I didn't want to hear was you telling me that it was you and 10 other people. So
no, man. So if you look at pictures or videos, all those who was wearing the white or even orange Hill in the Hood shirts were volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome,
and
awesome.
So yeah, we did, and then we had the volleyball, we had the softball, wiffle ball, soccer, bouncy houses. DJ was out there. We gave away not just book bags and school supplies, cases of water, cases of tea, vitamin water, and much snacks. I mean, it was so much. Hot dogs, we did over 400 hot dogs, so it was great.
What was your turnout like?
Oh, my God. Oh, man, listen. We did what we was intended to do. We brought back probably 500 book bags, if that much. Probably not
so
long. We did.
So
it was less than that.
So you got, let's just say, you still got a couple hundred book bags left.
I do. Yeah.
Wow.
I do.
Yeah.
Now that's what I didn't want to hear.
That's what I didn't want to hear because I wanted you to tell me you ran out.
I wish I did, but however, it works out because you still, there's other organizations.
That's true.
Man, listen, it was so many people of color, of all color there, that doing things, and they was wondering. And, you know, I love outreach. That's one of my specialties.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how so many people can't get access to a lot of things.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So I've been saying this for the longest, let us all just partner together. If you just show up, you know, you can get product and all that stuff. And it's amazing how people don't show up. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I was really upset that a lot of no pastors really showed up, man.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
it was
like none.
Man, I had one pastor showed up.
Okay, so I ain't gonna get into that. I'll wait till you in studio. We can talk about that. So you telling me the pastors that you and I both know didn't show up?
They didn't show up. No, man.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
They didn't.
I'm gonna leave it alone. You know what? It wasn't about them. And you know what?
It wasn't.
And you know what though? It's good that they didn't, because I'll say this, because you ain't got to say it. It wasn't about them. This was something that God put on your heart. This was a vision that God gave you, and then God supplied you with the people you needed. You had 75 volunteers. It didn't matter if they had a pastor title in front of their name. They came out and they helped you out. So those people who didn't show up, that was their loss. And they probably
and
I'll say this.
You mad about that?
Yeah. They're gonna call you and ask you for some book bags, though.
Oh my god! That part there, the inbox is full.
Yeah.
Like, man, guys that never will speak to me.
Wow.
Can you send
me 50 bags?
I reached out to, oh my God, man.
Yeah.
And all I ask you guys is show up and serve. I'm not actually bringing product, just show up and serve and let God do the rest. And he did it, though, man. You know, let me say this. Not only did we give out book bags, but people got saved yesterday.
Oh, my God. See, there you go.
We prayed for people yesterday. You know, I had at least 30 people come up to me and said, man, I didn't have the money to get my kids book bags or school supplies. And you know, you knew that they were sincere because they didn't have to share that. They could have just taken it and kept it moving, but they shared that. And I was like, wow. And everything was on point, man. And when I tell you this, it was well organized. It was well structured. It wasn't people all over the place trying to figure out what we do. No, we started at, when I tell you, we was at the park at 6 o'clock, at the park at 6 o'clock in the morning, setting up. Everything was running on point. I'm sitting here like, this is just strictly God.
Yeah.
Strictly God. And so we said, to God be the glory. And so through that, we got others that have said they want to partner because we're going to do Thanksgiving huge and Christmas.
Wow,
yeah.
That's good.
So this was that event that give you that morale to be explosive in ministry. And once again, it wasn't about them being part of First Bethel or no other church. You know, we had agencies. we have organizations, institutions that have come out, and they're looking at me like, who is this guy? Like, this, and you know, me doing this stuff, I'm not looking at how huge this is or how big. Man, we're doing stuff on the caliber of what these mega churches should be doing.
You're doing it, and you're doing it without the name behind it.
Exactly.
You're
there
doing
you
it without the name. And no offense to, because, you know, big shout outs because, you know, people like Father Flager and some of the other people always doing these big events, you know, and they're well deserved for the praise they get. So I'm not knocking them. But see,
sure,
nobody knows Cornelius Parks. But see, here's the thing you need to rest on, though. It's not your name that they need to be concerned with. It's the name behind your name that
yes
gave you the vision
yes
for the process.
Yes.
So it don't matter yes if they, because I like God told Abraham, I will make your name great, not you.
Yes.
Not
yes
you. I will make your name great. So he
yes
he's using you. God is going to continue to use you to cast a vision through you, because see, the same vision he's given you, he can't give to everybody else.
Yeah.
He can't get that to everybody
I'm
else.
This too, man. I'm gonna say this one thing, and I know you gotta move to the next topic.
You good, go ahead, man.
One thing I learned about vision is stick to the vision.
Woo!
Stick to it. if that's what the Lord giving you, don't waver because what others say. Don't waver because it don't seem like you don't have enough or it's not going to happen. You gotta trust the process. And a lot of times when you're doing vision, you got to be careful who you're talking to and getting counsel from.
Uh-oh.
Because people move to the place of, well, they ought to just be grateful anyway, just get what they want to get. Because
see?
I was fearful,
see?
I didn't have enough school supplies. I knew I had the book bag to school supplies. And so I had people saying, well, they should be just be grateful with the book bags. I said, no, we put out there that the Lord gave me the vision to fill up these book bags, including school supplies. And if that's the Lord's vision wasn't just book bags. It was book bags, including school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
My very first book of this year was Joel Osteen. He got a book of talking about how we ought to think big, act big, and react big.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we ask God just for the necessities. But
yeah,
we get pleasure when we ask for things that's out of our control.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good.
And so I took that concept and I said, man, 3,000, I never thought that was going to take place. And no, because truth be told, this event should have been a $30,000 budget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the numbers that's accurate, because for 5,000 book bags, For 1,000 book bags is $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so with 5,000 book with 1,000 book
mm-hmm
bags with school supplies,
mm-hmm,
that's $8,000.
Mm.
So 8 times 3 is $24,000. That's just
yeah
for the book
that's
bags.
That's just the book
bags,
right?
Supplies.
And school supplies. That's not counting the food and everything and all the other stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it went to the place and point that you cannot knock what the Lord want to do. And that's the catch. You can't knock what he want to do. The Lord want to do things in our lives, but we don't allow him to do the things that he want to do, because
mm
we're small-minded, because we're still trying to chip off the ice when we can have the whole block. You know, we got to the place that just give me a piece of the ice. No, you got access to the whole block if that's what you want.
I'm glad you said what you said about not sticking to the vision, because it's unfortunate. You even though people don't realize the harm they cause when they try to get you to detour from the vision God gave you. You said you had those book bags, and you have some folks saying, hey, man, they ought to just be grateful for what they got. You know, but as soon as you said that, it reminded me of Jesus with the two fish and the five loaves. And when
yes
the disciples came around and said, look, Jesus, we need to send these people away because we ain't got
yes
nothing for them.
We don't have
you know
nothing
what I'm saying
for them.
We ain't got nothing for them. And Jesus said, see, no, y'all don't really understand. Just go get me what you got. I'll do the rest. So just, same thing Jesus told you. You go get the 3,000 book bags. I will handle the rest. And he did that for you. And that's amazing, man. That's a pretty good pitch right there.
Now I'm going to help you with something, too, because you said something.
Come on.
And you said you used the scripture. I got to go back to it.
Go ahead.
And you said that you wish we would have ran out. Even when Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't run out.
Come on!
He still had them to put up the leftovers.
Leftovers!
Because there was a need. There was a need for some other folks that couldn't make it to get
sir.
The food.
Yes, sir.
So I felt that there are some people that was in the atmosphere that's doing the same thing that came out to support. But they are lacking the funds. They're lacking the resources.
Right.
And I believe that because the Lord has given us more than our capacity,
mm-hmm.
it's our job to be trusted and be good steward, not to keep it, but to sow it.
And a lot of us like
to keep stuff. We like to hold it and say, well, I can just use this for next year.
See?
Well, the Lord, it's an expiration date on every blessing.
See, I will open up the windows of heaven and pull you out
that's
a blessing
right.
that there shall not be, watch this, room enough.
That's
to receive
right.
it.
And so
come on.
Here it is. One of my biggest prayers, and I always ask the Lord, is to give me an open window of heaven.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something that we look at, but then also you got to command the blessings of the Lord to fall upon you.
That's good.
And understand. People that come to you saying certain things, they're just doing their job because that's the enemy trying to work within them.
Now, don't start.
Satan uses imps. He uses imps to try to detour us, to try to distract us. And, you know, and I often been saying this, that if we get so caught up and stop trying to just have church and do ministry, then we'd be able to heal this hood. And I have no problem with a lot of guys that's doing this, doing church, you know, speaking a prophetic word or doing all that. That's fine. But you still got to do some other things to solidify who Jesus really is. And so because of the movement yesterday, it made even Muslims react to there is a man named Jesus. It made atheists to react. We got to say, even if they don't come unto us, they would heard of, they at least they hear of him.
Yeah, and that's
scripture. That's our job is to introduce him to them in our actions, in our talk, in our ways. And a lot of times we think it's in pulpit, but it's not always in pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
all I kept saying yesterday on the mic was, this is much bigger than us. This is not about me. And I wasn't putting this out there even yesterday with my name. This is all in the Lord's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I even told the people, I don't care what religion, what denomination, what your background, but if you're operating here, you're agreeing that this was the Lord's work.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I didn't have people to turn around. They agreed that this was the Lord's work, and I'm appreciative to that. And I didn't have to argue with them or try to put a big sign up and say, Jesus' work, what would Jesus do? No. Because we played even secular music, but in the same token, people knew what I stand for.
That's good. Oh, my. That's awesome, man.
And so the blessings of it is that I'm revitalizing. Yesterday I learned. I'm getting ready to revitalize my whole entire ministry because this is a ministry that has been hidden from the church for a long time because we said there's lack of resources, but there's many resources out here.
Yeah.
We're too lazy to get them.
Wow.
And then we don't have integrity.
Uh-oh. See? And that's what stops other people who do have integrity from getting resources because so many of our churches have burned organizations who are trying to do the same thing you're doing. They've been burned by bogus organizations because they said, we want to do this and do that, and then find out you just gave it to your friends.
Yes.
You just gave it to your friends. That's just like if we hear – you know, I'm working with you with Pastor Spencer, a Maine Baptist, for this doing this concert, giving away tickets. Hey, man, I'm going to give you these tickets. And I turn around and I just give them to y'all. I just turn around and pass them out to whoever. I don't hold legitimate nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, how can you be trusted? So if God can't trust you with a little small thing like that, how do you expect him to trust you with something major?
Hey, man, the scripture says, if you be faithful over a few.
Come on.
Then he'll make you ruler over many.
That's in the book.
And
now.
People don't understand, and you're saying that because a lot of people don't understand. You got to pass your pop quiz before you get to the test. And the pop quiz is on the little stuff before we get to the big stuff. And we have passed the pop. And the reason why we're at a small venue, small church, that able to do these things because we passed the pop quizzes.
Yeah.
And then also we passed many of the tests.
Yeah.
Now that's a test that leads us to graduate to the next level. That will come our way, and the Lord seeing how we're going to operate in it. And that test is not the product, but that test is how we treat his people when they come to receive the product.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And we don't look at, you know, you can't have nasty people to serve.
Oh.
You can't have mean people to serve. You know, you got to have people that have a Christ-like mind, regardless on people being glutton, greedy, ungrateful.
Yeah.
You can't change your character because of because of who they are.
Ooh.
You have a mission to treat everyone the way that Jesus would treat us.
Mm.
And a lot of times we fail in that capacity because we're looking at the individual. But understand this. Let that individual be greedy. Let that individual do whatever he needs to do with it. As long as you have a sincere heart and giving, you're fine.
Right. Your job was strictly to provide. And if they decide to do something different with it, that's between them and God. Yeah.
Let me tell you how I knew it was going, and I'm going to let you go. You know how I knew this was going to be a move of God? All week long, even up to that morning, it kept saying a 50% chance of rain.
Come on, come on.
It got so dark outside the park that morning that we kept saying, okay, let's just let it rain and get over with. Not a spot of rain hit the park.
Not a drop.
Not a drop.
Not a drop.
I was able to leave people at the park, go to church, have Sunday school, morning service, to look at my phone at the church and say, okay, something has to be wrong. There was nothing wrong. I had one phone call. Somebody said I had to leave to go to the washroom. Other than that, nothing was wrong. Everything was in place. Everything was on point. And I'm sitting here like, wow. Got back out there. The sun was shining so hard.
That's awesome.
And I'm sitting here like, this is nobody but God.
That's awesome. That is absolutely amazing, man. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I can't take right from that event. You can't take life to the place that it just won't matter anymore. It's significant to us. It's significant to others because we are the ones that can reach people that others can't. And that's what the scripture said. We are able to do mightier things than Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's talking about in these different capacities.
Mm-hmm. Greater works.
Greater works. He wasn't able to do what we can do. But we do it in his name, under his power, the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so
that's
if
good.
We continue to operate without him, man, we ain't going to do nothing but fail.
Wow. My God. That's a lesson in itself, man. Look, man, I am proud of you. You did a great work. And I'm just like last year, I'm going to go on and do it again this year. So you did 3,000 last year. You might well go on, get the flyer ready and put the 5,000 mark on it. You might well go on and get the flyer ready.
I am.
And put the 5,000 mark on it.
I received that, and you're the first person gave me that number, and I'm gonna take that.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Go on and put it on there, and look, and look. You did the south side. Maybe you're gonna move it. Maybe you'll do the west side. Maybe you'll do somewhere
definitely.
Else. You got options.
Definitely.
You got options.
Definitely.
And watch this. Those people who volunteer, keep them in your mental Rolodex. Keep them in your phone.
Got them.
Because that way you keep them involved. Let them know that they're constantly appreciated for what they've done. No, you can't pay them monetarily, but you know what? An occasional text message just to let them know that I'm praying for you and I'm looking for you. To help you out or however we can do, whatever we can do for, just to let them know. And those people will show up for you next year, and they will bring somebody with them. Because if you're going to do 5,000, you're probably going to need 150 volunteers.
Listen, hey, honestly, bro, let me tell you something. Based upon what we did with the activities, the giveaway, everything, I would honestly, with 5,000, I would definitely go with 200 volunteers.
You probably
I'm
right.
I'm going to tell you what.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised of what it is that that's, I'm talking about, from setup, from the stuffing, from the giveaway, and then from the cleaning. That's four different shifts. And you need the people. You
well, I can tell you right now, it take I just taking on what you did, it takes 15 people to get Jody set up. 10 to 15 people to get Jody set up on a Wednesday for just a couple of hours.
My point. Yeah, you go.
You see what I'm saying?
And they saw the red team showed up, man.
Right. Oh, I saw him out there. I saw him out there.
And
but
also, man, this is guy, Matt mm-hmm. Thornton from My Father's Business.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on Windy City Live and all that. And
mm-hmm.
he was out there with me. He's one of my good buddies. And
awesome.
So many people was recognizing him. And then how are you two connect? You know, the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord knows what he's doing. Yeah.
That's good stuff,
man. It's good, though, man. It's
good.
But, man, I know you got to go with the article, man. But
look,
man,
get you some rest. Put your feet up, man. And if it stays nice outside, go outside and light you a stogie and relax.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got no game tonight,
yeah,
dude. You ain't got to play no game, dude. You ain't got no game,
dude.
No
game. If I had to play, I wasn't going to play.
Okay. All right, man. Well, you stay blessed, man. We love you over here, man. You be good.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Once again, Pastor Cornelius Parks, man, I'm excited about him and what he was able to do and the vision that God cast. It just shows you, man, if you stay consistent and you just follow the path that God gave you, if you just follow the path that God sends you, and he said some things, and he said a lot of things, and about how the devil will use people, and I wasn't going to do it, but you know what, Lord, I got to do what I do, and I do what I do. It's amazing the people that God will send your way to try and knock you down from something right before it's time for you to reach it. Let me say that again. It's amazing how God will use the very people who sit next to you to use them to try to stop you from what you're trying to do. Pastor Park said some stuff. He said people were coming at him all week long leading up to this thing, saying this and that and the third. And I want to say this to some people right now, I just want to say this, and I'm not going to go into no whole long diatribe. Y'all know how I can go, but I'm not going to go into it. God has allowed you to be placed in the position that you're in, whether you really wanted to do it or not. He allowed you to be there.
Thought it was all over. ABK and Reverend right back at you, baby. From the shower with a new flavor. Can you feel me? Woo! Come on, everybody, get your hands up. Come on, everybody, get your hands up. Once again, it's on, man. Woo!
We're back. Sorry about that. Y'all had to fix the radio side. We had some issues on that side. Let me say this real quick. You cannot allow people and circumstances and situations to make you detour from what God has for you to do. Can I help somebody? People may say, you don't deserve to be a part of this group, or you don't deserve this position, or you're not qualified to be a part of this organization or this committee or this, that, and another. And people are sitting back waiting for you to fail. right? Don't allow their thoughts and their processes to be the thing to push you away from what God has ordained you to do. God called you and allowed you to step into this position to do exactly what it is you're doing. Do what God has allowed you to do and finish your job. Let me say that again. Finish your job. At the end of the day, you want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you to do. You did what I allowed. You said, hey, I want to be on this thing. I want to do this. Okay, fine. I opened the door and allowed you to do it. Now finish it. Now, I want to give you this. There is, think about the position, John the Baptist. Everybody recognizes John the Baptist as the forerunner for Jesus, right? Everybody thinks of John the Baptist as the forerunner. That's what the Bible calls him. That's what all the stories, anytime you've ever heard it preached, he was the one who laid technically the foundation for what was to come. Now, that's not saying that when Jesus came, Jesus could have came without John the Baptist. Absolutely, he could have came. Absolutely, he could have came. He was going to come regardless whether or not there was a John the Baptist or not. Jesus still was going to fulfill his mission. However, there are people who are in place right now whose position is to lay the groundwork for that next one to come behind them to complete the work. Some of you all are the ones who have been chosen. Come on now, I'm going to do this and I'm going to move on, my God. Some of you all have been chosen simply to be the ones to lay the groundwork, to open the door for the next one to come in. You cannot allow attitudes, disagreements, arguments, miscommunications, and so forth to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. I have had to work with people in my professional life that could not stand the ground that I walked on. I have had to work with people in my ministry life, my God, today, and I'll say this, they don't like to see me coming. But I cannot allow them to stop me from doing what God has called me to do and what God has opened up a door for me to do. I'll go this far. There are people who come into this building. Y'all know where I am, third floor, Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, 301 North Central. My show is here live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There are people who are members of this place who would love nothing more than to see somebody come up in here, shut the lights off, snatch the equipment out, and say, boy, go home somewhere. I know this for a fact, but I don't allow their thoughts, their devices, or the traps that they lay to stop me from doing what God has allowed me to do. Y'all help me. I don't let that happen, because if I can take my eye off of the prize so I can turn around and fuss at you and get so distracted fussing at you that I'm no longer looking at the direction that God has sent me in, now I'm not only going forward, now I'm going sideways, and I'm getting sidetracked, and now I'm finding myself way over here because I got to prove a point that I'm stronger than you, that I'm more powerful than you, that you are not going to say what you want to say to me. You ain't going to talk. You cannot allow. Because, see, that's the trick of the enemy. And then here is the scary part, and this is why so many folk are afraid to come to church. The scary part is the very people that's whispering and saying these things are people wearing a robe just like you. My God. Come on now. The very people who are saying these things stand in the same pulpit you do sometimes. The very people saying these things claim to be just as Christian as you are. The very people who saying these things claim to have a testimony just like you do, but you have to watch them because you know them. I'm going to say this like this. You will know them by their fruit. See, you can't come prophesy to me whispering nothing in my ear, telling me what God told you, and I've never seen anything you say come to fruition. Can I help somebody? You don't get to come whisper and talk to me and tell me what God told you to tell me when I see your situation. Come. You don't get to come and just whisper and say stuff about folk when I recognize that everything about you is issue. Everything about you is messy. Everything about you got a, again, there is an agenda for everything that you do. God ain't in that. So I'll say this again to those of you who have been chosen to be a part of something. Don't allow whispers and naysayers to knock you off your square to the point that you're no longer able to complete the mission that God gave you. And don't be like Moses. Come on, somebody. Don't be like Moses. And you get so mad and so distracted and so fed up that you end up doing something that steals the glory from God. And you're able to do all this work. But when it comes time to get to the promised land, you're not allowed to go because of what you did. Huh? Don't do all the work and only get to look at the mountaintop. My God. Yes. Don't do all the work and only get to look down and say, well, see, I was there when this happened, but for circumstances out of my control, I had to leave. And don't turn around and run away. You've done all the work. No, 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 no. Excuse me. Don't do that. Don't allow people, small-minded people, people with no vision to give you vision. How you going to tell me about a vision and you ain't got none? Huh? I don't mean no harm and I don't mean no disrespect, but that's like me getting in my phone. Y'all pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Lord, guide my tongue. That's like me getting in my phone and pulling up my Uber app. And I say I want to go somewhere, and up pulls my Uber driver. And my Uber driver got a CNI dog in the passenger seat. And on the other, and sitting behind my Uber driver, come on somebody, is Ray Charles. And the driver is Stevie Wonder. And I'm going to get in the car and say, can you take me here? Now, can't nobody in the car see but me and the dog. Y'all help me. Help me, somebody. Can't nobody see in the car but me and the dog. But the two people giving the instruction are blind. Y'all help me with that. How in the blue hell am I supposed to listen to you prophesy to me and tell me what God told you to tell me when obviously you ain't listening what God is trying to tell you? Come on, son. Look. I had to say it. I wasn't going to say it, but Pastor Parks opened the door for it, so I had to, and bless him, bless him, bless him. You cannot allow negative people and negative thoughts to prevent you from doing the job that you have been assigned to do. You accepted the position, you do the job, and you do it to the best of your capability. And guess what? You're not going to like everybody that you work with. You're not going to like everybody that you work with, but you ought to respect everybody that you work with. I ain't got to like you. I got a whole lot of folk that I worked with that I did not like, but I respected they hustle. And I respected their grind. We never went out to break bread together, and that's okay. But I understood that I needed them just as much as they needed me to finish the work that I had been assigned to do. And with that thought process, you are able to be successful and prosperous in whatever it is God has assigned for you to do. My God. Don't allow, as Pastor Park said, the devil's imps, no matter how dressed up they may be, no matter how holy they claim to be, no matter that they're wearing the same robe you got on, no matter if they were, oh my God, I'll say it anyway, they could have been ordained the same day you got ordained. Don't let the devil's imps, my God, speak mess into your life. You don't get to speak anything into my life. You don't even speak to me. How the hell are you going to speak something into my life? My God, y'all pray for me. Pray for the preacher. Y'all pray for me because y'all know I have to say it. I got to say it like I feel it. How you going to speak into me? Help me, somebody. How you going to speak into me and speak something into me? Or watch this. Speak something else into somebody about me, but you don't even speak to me. My God. But God told you to say it. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna keep it moving because I don't want to get yelled at. We need to get to a place where we keep our eyes focused on the task and the job and the mission that Jesus assigned us to. You gotta keep focused. You got to have a narrow, you got to put on blinders. And I know it's hard, trust me, and I'm speaking from experience. You got to put on blinders. Because sometimes, stuff will pop up just to see if I can get him to turn the corner for a minute. Now I'm going to say this. When the enemy attacks, and I wish I had some help, when the enemy attacks, you got to call that thing right where it is when it happens. You got to call it right where it is. Just like Jesus told Satan, get thee behind me. And trust me, and I've seen it happen in person. If you put them in their place, they tuck their tail between their legs and they run away like a scalded dog and they run away whispering and whimpering. Let them do that. You do your job and then you get right back on the task. You can let them slow you down, but don't let them stop you. They might delay you, but they can't deny you. My God. Oh, my God. All right. I'm done. We got, where we got? I'm good. I'm on time. Yeah, I'm on time. Amen. All right, y'all. We got this great article, and I bless y'all so much. Let me speak to some of the people in the room. I think I spoke earlier. Pat Hicks, Felicia Martin, I see you. Anitra Howard, I see you. Yolanda King, I see you. Parks, but God bless you, brother. Thank you for sticking by. Mark Atkins, what's up, my brother? Good to see you. Just happy to have you here, man. So many of y'all are in and around. And you know what? I praise God for y'all. I do. I praise God for y'all. I do. I really do. I praise God for you all to come in and spend your time, your afternoons, or whatever it is you're doing. I do. I praise God for y'all. Y'all are some. Y'all, you all inspire and keep the fire burning. Because you're going to preach regardless. You know, you have to preach regardless, whether it's 10 people in show up in church. If 50 people show up or 500, you're going to preach. That's your job. That's your job. So if only one person was listening to this show, guess what? I'm gonna do the show until God tell me different and show me a different direction. Show gonna be done, and I got to do that. But there's this article, y'all. Oh my God, there's this really good article, and I want to jump into it. And it's good, man. I saw it and I said, oh, this might be a little controversial, because you think about the gospel, you don't think about division. Bless you, Mark Atkins. Bless you, sir. Bless you. But the article is simply entitled Three Ways the Gospel Might Divide a Church. Three Ways the Gospel Might Divide a Church. The writer says this. If you haven't hit the share button, please do so. Please do so. I know I've been hitting the invite button. If you haven't done so, hit the share button. This is what the writer says. He uses Matthew 10, 34, and 36. He says, do not think, this is Jesus speaking now, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. He says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He says, for I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, I'm not making this up. I want y'all to read Matthew 10, 34, and 36. But read the whole chapter. I just read you that those two scriptures, those two verses. But read all of Matthew 10, and 30, 10, 34, and 36. Let me help you. The writer says this. A curious thing happens when a church and its shepherds are committed to this radical notion of gospel centrality. He says, if we will focus on the biblical Jesus, we will tend to be motivated to reach and prime to attract the same kind of people that the biblical Jesus did. And he says, and while most church folks like the idea of missions and church growth, when the rubber meets the road in your proclamational engagement, you will find quite a few of the same agreeable souls eager to pump the brakes. Why does this happen? I like this. The writer says this. He says, well, the same gospel that by its nature unifies also tends to divide. He says, we don't usually expect this kind of division in the local church. We are typically otherwise fearful about conflict arising from music styles, programming choices, and personality types. But the gospel can divide a church just as easily as it might a family. But actually, there's nothing more prone to stirring up mess than the grace of God that has arrived to create order. Oh, my God. Let me read that again. He says, there's nothing more prone to stirring up mess than the grace of God that has arrived to create order. He says, whenever the gospel is faithfully preached, people will get poked in the idols. Oh, my God. And people don't like that. How does this happen? He says, here are three common ways the gospel might cause division. Y'all ready? Three common ways the gospel might cause division. Number one, the writer says, the gospel critiques the self-righteous. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The gospel critiques the self-righteous. The writer says this. He says, the very news of the good news is that we are saved not by our works, but by Christ's work. He says, our righteousness merits us nothing. In fact, our righteousness can often get in the way of our believing and enjoying the finished work of Christ. He says, people who are preoccupied with their own performance, oh my God, people who are preoccupied with their own performance, how they come across religiously or their position in the church are based on their gifts, intellect, tenure, or social standing, find the regular and copious teaching of grace discombobulating. Oh my God. This is what the writer says. He says, I once followed up with a longtime church lady on a sustained absence from worship, and was surprised to hear her say she stopped coming because we had a certain man serving as a Sunday morning greeter. He says, I asked her if he had hurt her in some way or if she had knew of some ongoing sin in his life that we ought to know about. She couldn't really speak to either of these concerns, but instead said many people in our small town remembered what he was like before his salvation. Oh, my God. So it was good. It was not good for our image to have him as the first face that somebody saw. Y'all, oh my God. She says, before he came to Christ, he was sort of an angry cuss and given to drunkenness too. He was, by God's grace, not like that anymore. In fact, many of us who only knew him post-conversion only knew how incredible, friendly, and joyful, and generous, and helpful, and eager to serve this guy was. But she could not forget his past. He was not the right sort. She said to me, I just think things are black and white, and this is too much gray. Really, it was the opposite. The writer says, the gospel has washed him white as snow, but in her mind, the math of the gospel didn't add up. It messed her sense of propriety and religious decency. She was suffering from Dane Ortlund's call the moral vertigo. of the gospel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You will see this response happen quite often among the self-righteous and the religiously proud. And in fact, if you preach grace hard enough, you'll begin to expose over time self-righteous and religious pride in people, maybe even yourself, where you didn't even know it existed. Can I help somebody for a minute? When you start to preach grace, self-righteous folk don't want to hear that. People only want to remember you the way they saw you grow up. I find this so amazing. I find this amazing. I find this amazing. Woo, my God. Amen, Anitra. Amen, Anitra Howard. God, you so glad. God, you so grateful. God isn't like man. Here is the deal. Here is the deal. People who knew you growing up don't always see you as the person they knew growing up. People who worked with you for 10 or 15 years and maybe you weren't saved, gonna always see you as that person. Post-conversion, look at the people who know you post-conversion, right? Look at the people who know you. And see, I'm not talking about when you got baptized. Because if y'all tell the truth, some of y'all, when y'all got baptized, y'all wasn't converted. See, I could talk about myself. I was baptized at 10. I ain't knew nothing at 10. Shouldn't have been put in nobody's water. Didn't know what I was doing. I went up there because I got tired of people saying it's time for you to go up there. And then I finally went up there. But converted at 10, you were not converted at 10. Some people were, don't get me wrong. But a lot of us who were baptized as children didn't know what we were doing. So you can't say that was your true conversion. If I had to be honest with you, my true conversion to me really knowing who God was, wasn't until 1998, and that's the truth. I was 28 years old, actually 27, going on 28. That's when true conversion hit for me. That's when I finally started recognizing who God really was. But see, people who knew me prior to that only know that. And then even as your conversion strengthens, even as your walk with Christ gets greater, and tighter, and your relationship with him grows, people are only going to know you from the beginning. Now, here is the difference. If you claim to be doing, and then here's the deal. See, this is what I like. Because, you know, people like to do this a lot. You know, talk, run their mouth. This is what I love. See, I know the people that I used to hang with, right? And I still talk to some of those people that I used to hang with. But they now see me where I am. And then there are the people who I'm just now starting to get to know who only know me now. They only know the preacher Dana. They don't know Wilcox Dana. You know what I'm saying? They only know the preacher Dana. They don't know Wilcox Dana. They don't know going to the Freaknik in 91, 92, 93, 94, 95 Dana. They don't know that Dana. Okay? They only know, you look at me the wrong way, you might get cussed out. You say something to me, you cuss me out, I'm cussing you. That's the Dana that they know. The people who know me now don't know anything about that. And when I try to, and if I share that with them, they look at me like, man, stop playing. You ain't did that. You didn't used to do that. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing like that. But see, when you're self-righteous, you're only going to recognize, well, you know, he used to do this. Well, you know, she used to do this. Well, she always. Now, here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. They know you for 20 years, right? 20 years. And then you start to grow in Christ, right? Come on now. Come on now. Mark Atkins, you know both. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank Mark, you're right, and I know both of yours too. But people will say this. I've known her. I've known her for 20 years, and she always been messy. She always had issues. She always been like that. She always did that. Right? But now you don't have a relationship with her or him. Right? And now over the last 4 or 5 years or whatever that you've been out of relationship and out of contact with said person, they have become different. But when you hear about them or you see them, your first mind goes to, oh, I knew her then. I knew him then. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's fake and phony now. Y'all didn't know him when he was doing this. Y'all didn't know him when he was stealing folk, climbing in people's windows and doing all that. Y'all didn't know him then. Y'all didn't know him when he was strung out on drugs, or y'all didn't know him when he was drunk every day, or y'all didn't know him when he was being locked up or the police was coming to his house or they was raiding his grandmama's house and doing this and that. Y'all didn't know him then. See, that's the one I know. Y'all, but see, people can't understand that. But see, that's why, and I'm going to say it again, who's that, Miss Anitra Howard, that she typed on Facebook. I'm so grateful that God ain't like man. Now, the reason some of y'all still getting taught because you still doing the same stuff. See, you crying Jesus, but still talking foul about folk. You crying, Lord, help me, but you still talking crazy about people. See, you can't say, Lord, help me in church and walk down to the aisle and, Lord, I pray for forgiveness and, Lord, I pray that you would remove this burden. And Lord, I pray for this. And then before you get back to your seat, you send in a text message talking about somebody. Huh? Let me move on to number two. Whew. My. Number two. Let me give y'all number one. I'm sorry. I'll be putting this in the comments for y'all that ain't able to read the article with me. Don't want to switch up a little bit. Let me put this in here for you. Anitra said this, though. She says, Hebrews 8:12, for I forgive iniquities and remember their sin no more. Amen. You right about that thing. It's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me where we remember everything. We want God to forget our sin, but I point yours out in a heartbeat. And watch this. I'll point out something. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll just keep spreading it. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, this is what I heard. I don't know how true it is, but this is what I heard. You know what I'm saying? But you call yourself Christian. Oh, my God. Help us, Lord. Let's keep going. Number two says this. The gospel frustrates the hobby horse riders. The gospel frustrates the hobby horse riders. The writer says this. He says, it's not just those who love the law too much who get aggravated by gospel centrality. He said, it's also those who love anything else too much. He says, pass along enough and you'll meet a variety of interesting and relationally taxing hobby horse riders. He says, a brief survey of the kinds of people you'll meet in your church neighborhood. These are the people you'll meet in church. The culture warrior, who's frustrated that you're not patriotic or political enough. The end times junkie, who's frustrated that you're not eschatological enough. The self-styled academic, who's frustrated that you don't really dig into the meat. Or the Greek participles or whatever. He says, or the activist who's frustrated you don't give people enough social justice for homework. He says, that's just a small sampling. He says, really, there can be as many as frustrated people as there are hobby horses. But those are some of the most common ones. He says, I've been hounded by theology nerds, accursed by culture warriors, and worn out by activists. You cannot expect the preaching of grace to always be met with grace in return. You should, in fact, expect that being single-minded about the gospel will frustrate those minds who are set on something else. Let me help you with something. Here's the deal. Churches have bylaws. We have at our church what we call a constitution. Other churches have in their churches constitutions, bylaws, whatever you want to call them. And this is the laws that they go by. And I'll say this wholeheartedly with the utmost confidence. There are people in churches who believe that their bylaws and their constitution are more powerful than the actually written living word of God. There are people in churches right now who study their constitutions and their bylaws more than they study the word of God. They can pull out a constitution and tell you where something is in a heartbeat, but ask them where scripture is in the Bible and they can't tell you nothing. Huh? You got folk who know the history of a church from year 1 to year 45, but ask them Negroes to give you a scripture in the Bible about fasting and they got to go to Google. Huh? Ask them Negroes to give you something in your, when your life is in the midst of a storm and you need a scripture that's going to give you some encouragement. I dare you to ask one of them Constitution bylaw carrying folks to tell you to give you a scripture about encouragement. They got to go to Google. Because, see, they don't know nothing about the word. They got titles, deacon and trustee. But if you ask them about the word of God, they can help you. Oh, but I can tell you about Section 8, Article 4, Section 22, third sentence. I am over it. I am so over it. But you want to say you're teaching something. I want to make sure that I'm teaching the next generation. Teaching the next generation what? That's why the next generation don't want to come to your church. That's why your own children don't want to be at your church. They don't want to be at your church because they've seen your methods. They've seen your mess. They've seen how you do things. They don't want to be a part of it. They hear how you talk about it when you're not here. They've seen the results of your mess. Here is the problem. You had those forebearers who came in first, who laid the foundation, and then the job was passed to you, and you did a piss-poor job of passing it on to the next generation, and then you want to know what the hell happened to the church. I don't hear nobody. It's okay. It's all right. You want to know what happened and why folk ain't coming. You didn't do your job. The first generation did theirs. You rested on what the first generation did, and instead of you expanding on what the first generation did, you just sat on it. You sat on it, and you just tried to keep duplicating over and over again. Well, if you ever used to dub a tape back in the day, if you ever used to play a cassette tape and you would dub a tape, y'all know what dub a tape means, you know, duplicate. If you ever would dub a tape, you always notice that the duplication never sounded quite as good as the original. It never had the same clarity as the original. It never had the same sound. It just didn't carry right. And then when you duplicated a duplicate, it just got worse and worse. And the more you duplicated, the less the quality went. But you would say, hey, I got the tape though. Huh? I got the tape. It's like those of you who watch, what they call them, bootleg movies. One thing about bootleg movies I notice is this, and I know some of y'all got, you know. Now, there's a bootleg movie, you know, the bootleg ones where, you know, the guy sitting in the movie theater holding his phone, or they got the little mini camcorder, and you see the heads walk across the screen. That's the original bootleg, right? And then you got the one where somebody, like, done did something, and they duplicated something, and it's bad. One thing the bootleg movie does not have that the original movie has. Here is the problem. You cannot duplicate the sound. Y'all have been watching the duplicate. I don't care if you got a director's cut or a screener, as they call them. The screeners don't have that Dolby Digital surround sound. It sounds hollow. It sounds like you're in a tunnel. It does not have the same sound. You'll say, man, I got the movie. Hey, I can see it, though. Yeah, you can see it, but it does not have the same feel. You don't get all of the nuances of the work and the quality that went into the original. You don't get that. And why? You know why you don't get it? Because you cheated to get it in the first place. My God. You cheated to get it in the first place. You didn't wait until the process was finished, until the company said, hey, we're releasing this DVD on July 13th. You can get the copy of the DVD with all of the great extras and that amazing Dolby Digital surround sound. You don't get that on the bootleg. And that's the same thing we've done in our churches. We've bootlegged what the forerunners did for us. Instead of going in and taking the time to do it ourselves, we decided we just want to keep duplicating the same thing over and over and over again, guess what? When it no longer applies. When it no longer applies. What my grandmother and crew did when they marched in and they marched into this place 45 years ago, that stuff does not, some of it does not apply today. The word that they came in on is the same. But what I put out to people to draw in the next generation has to be different. I have to meet them where they at. See, before you could march up and down the street and sing some songs and folk would just get in line and follow you back to church. We've seen how productive marches are today. They aren't. They aren't. You got to meet people where they are. You got to go to where they at. My God, I got 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes. Let me get through. Okay. Stop. All right. Excuse me. That was number two. Number three says this. The gospel, oh my God, the gospel irritates those who don't want to change. The gospel irritates those who don't want to change. Oh, my. Let me read this. Anitra says, is our light shining bright or is the bulb blown? Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You preaching to me right now. You preaching to me. Let me give y'all number two. I'm sorry, that was number two. I just put it out there for you. Number three says this. Oh, my God. Number three says this. The gospel irritates those who don't want to change. The writer says this. The gospel announces that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone. But this faith, as the reformers say, isn't alone. Sanctified works flow from the sanctified heart. The gospel actually changes us. The Holy Spirit actually changes the heart of the sinner who now wants to please God and grow in the likeness of Christ. That's just one way change is affected by the gospel of Jesus. But a church that embraces the gospel as its one thing begins to change too. Its preaching and teaching changes, and thus its discipleship and its counseling. Its interest change, its emphasis change, its reasons for being changes, and it will grow. If not numerically, at least spiritually. The writer says it has become a ministry truism because it's true that church folk want to change until they actually do. And every church says it wants to grow, but actually growing will show whether or not that's true. Woo! He says most people don't like change. People who are set on the gospel especially don't like change. So when the gospel begins to change a church, and as the gospel grows a church, it cannot help but change. You cannot grow. You can't grow and not change. This really freaks people out. He says, I asked for a meeting once with a couple whose complaints and criticisms against me, the ministry in general, he says, were beginning to concern me. He says, most of these complaints were carried out behind my back. Oh, my God. And only later revealed by third parties. Oh, my God. Or heard through the grapevine. Oh, my God. He says, so I began by asking if I had offended them in some way or hurt them, if maybe their complaint was driven by something I had done that I didn't know. They could not put a finger on anything specific I had done to deserve their complaints. Instead, the husband offered this. The church has changed. It's not the same as it used to be. He only elaborated briefly, but apparently the church had grown enough numerically that it didn't feel the same as it did in the good old days. He did not know everybody like he used to. This obviously made him uncomfortable. It made him uncomfortable enough to seek to subvert the ministry and the growth of the church. Look, y'all, this article is good. It hits the point. I don't want y'all to be mad, but I just want y'all to read it for yourself. I'm gonna give you the last verse of the article. The last verse, the last scripture part of the article. It simply says this. The writer says this. He says, come on back. He says, Galatians 4:16. Don't miss this, y'all. Galatians 4:16 says, have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth. That thing messed me up. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? No longer like me because I told you the truth about yourself. Do you no longer like me because I recognize the truth about you and I expose the truth about you? And now that I know that what you're selling, I don't want to buy, you don't like me. Now that I know you're the biggest fake and phony on the as the truth, have I become your enemy? My God, by telling you the truth. Father God, we pray right now, God, that you would remove any obstacles that would deter people from completing their mission. Father God, we pray right now, God, that you would restore the minds and the souls of those who might be hurt and angry by some argument or some miscommunication. God, right now, we ask that you would quiet the spirit of those who are suffering right now with some sort of depression or oppression. God, we ask that you would break down walls of those who have put walls up, God, because they've been hurt so many times and they just don't trust anybody. God, we ask that you would start to slowly remove the walls, God. We ask that you would start to slowly restore their hearts, God. God, mend their hearts where they're broken, God. Restore their faith where it's been torn down, God. Build them up where they're torn down. God, right now, we ask that you would just move by your spirit in these people, God, who so desperately need you, God, but just don't understand and know how to find you. God, just give them the light bulb, God. Give them the direction, God. God, turn on their spiritual GPS, God, and show them the way back to you, God. So many folk are in your church but lost, God. Preaching but lost, my God. Singing but lost, my God. Praising but lost, my God. Hurting but lost right now, God. Wanting and waiting, but God, they're lost right now, God. So we ask that you would just move by your spirit and lead them back to you, God. Give them the direction, God, whether it be at this church or another church, God. Don't allow them to become stagnant. Don't allow them to become complacent. Don't allow them to mutter in mediocrity, God. Move them right now, God. Elevate their spirits, God. Elevate their minds, God. Renew the right spirit in them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, y'all, I got to go. Y'all been blessed. Y'all have blessed me. I got to go. Wish I had some more time to talk, but I got to go. Y'all stay blessed, man. It's been awesome, awesome, awesome.
Just when you thought it was all over, ABK and Reverend right back at you, baby. From the shower with a new flavor.